Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, I'm Lorraine.
I'm Nettie.
My name is Mamie.
I'm Becca.
I'm Heidi.
I'm Katie.
Welcome back to another episode of Sister Share. We're so happy that you joined us. Today, our topic is rewarding routines, and we're talking about all the different practices we have to find consistency in our day. Who wants to get started?
Well, I have questions.
Let's start there then.
All right. My kids are so mad oftentimes when we are enforcing our routines. It's so difficult. Yesterday morning, sending kids off to school, we do the same thing every morning. And, you know, someone didn't get the sandwich that they wanted. They got a smaller one. And they're mad at the person who got the bigger one. I can't even make this up. Like, I never know what they're going to be mad about. And even just last night, as we're doing dishes, we all have our dishes job. People were mad at other people because they weren't doing what they were supposed to do, or they weren't doing it at the rate they thought they should do it, or they weren't doing a good enough job or whatever. And there's just a lot of times so much contention around routines that we have had in place forever. And anyway, I'm just wondering how to make it a happy thing, I guess.
Way to keep it real, Katie. So what you're saying is the routines are not rewarding at your house.
They are, in the fact that, like, the dishes got done and everyone's lunch got packed. You know, we all were sitting up to the table. So in that way, they're rewarding. Our life is functional, but our life is not pleasant.
I have a thought that may not answer your question, but I do think it's important to remember as a mother. Our routines will not always make everybody happy, but one of the reasons we have routines is to teach our children how to live, that we live clean, orderly lives. We're creating, hopefully, citizens that are going to be good and hardworking, and that happens over their lifetime, over the child's lifetime as they're growing up. And so often when we have bumps in our road, I remind myself, this is my personal theory, but I really feel like it's true that the more bumps the child has as they are growing up, the more they have to rub shoulders with their siblings or feel like they are being rubbed the wrong way. It is smoothing them like they're a stone. And the more those they get rubbed, the smoother they get. This isn't coming across well, but it's creating a smooth or a round stone that then can be a good citizen throughout their life, that knows how to have an orderly home, that knows how to be happy. The happiness doesn't come in the moment all the time, but it's rubbing off those rough spaces.
Mame, I want to jump in right there. I agree. I think we're building habits. So I remember going to college. We grew up in a home where our habit or our routine after dinner was to do dishes. And then I went to college and realized not everybody grew up with that routine. And it was inconsiderate, actually, to have dishes from roommates sitting in the sink or on the counters. And now I have college kids, and we've always had the routine. You eat dinner, you have a meal, you do dishes, you clean up the kitchen. And they have hard times also with roommates who leave things out. And it becomes a disservice when someone who has that routine can't cook or has a hard time, you know, keeping a room, sleeping in a room that's not cleaned. So picking up laundry, doing dishes, keeping things tidy, those are habits that our routines will hopefully build in our kids. So there's a big picture as we're building routines. So you're right, they're not always going to be happy.
And just to add on again to that, is that's really the value of family. These are, we call them rewarding routines. That means the reward often comes later. But living within a family is the real test of life. And so nice to have those bumps and unpleasant times trying to get along with people in the home, so that once they do leave home, then they're better equipped to deal with people outside of the home with those same situations where you're going to feel irritated, or people are late, or not on time or rubbing somebody the wrong way. That's the value of family altogether. So, Katie, I think your routines are still rewarding.
Is there a way for my kids to think that too?
I'll get there.
Well, I'll tell you what my daughter Sarah said. She's a happy mother, and she has very young kids. And she was telling me yesterday, rewards have to be happy for the parent. And I don't know that that means you always have to be joyful in the moment, but I do think that it should be something you see the value of, or else it's hard as a parent to continue the routine. And she was telling me some of hers. I wish I had been this mother, but I wasn't. And she talks about putting on quiet classical music in the morning and having come follow me with her littles, where she draws out the picture. And then I think after she's done, she lets her littles do a little thing on their own about something they learned. They do a little dance party for her exercise. I also see the value of that in my classroom. When we come in the morning, I have very calming classical music playing, and the students know to come in quietly, and they work silently on their morning work, and then they get in right into their silent reading. We start so low key at school, and it's really nice because everything else for the day, for me anyway, at school escalates. So it's nice to start calm, and it takes a while because the kids at the beginning of the year are not used to that, and it takes practice. But at this point of the year, they love it. So I think there is a hump. There's a learning curve. But I think routines are comforting for children. They know what to expect, and it needs to be consistent.
And Lorraine, music is an awesome tool. I love that you brought up music. One thing that we face in our home is that we have the whole spectrum. So we have a 5-year-old all the way up to our high schooler that's graduating this year. And they all have different music tastes. So one thing that I've done in my home is on my whiteboard that's a menu board in my kitchen, I wrote down different types of music every day. So it keeps me on track. And my kids know I'm going to at least one day that week play music that they like. And it includes classical music. It includes the youth music that they like. It includes musicals, because I want my kids to be exposed to musicals. So that there's a different type of music that we incorporate each day. So you can make it so that they feel at least like they have a day or so that their type of music or their type of sandwich will be made or whatever.
One routine in our home that I think makes a big difference is the routine of prayer. We pray at almost every crossroads throughout the day. So we pray together in the morning when we wake up. That gives us a minute to all be together, look at each other, think what's happening through the day. We pray when we climb into the car before we drive away. We pray before a meal. We pray before we go to bed. And that simple routine of prayer as a family or with whoever's there at the moment gives us a chance to pause throughout the day and just stop in all the hustle and bustle and think, where are we going? What are we doing? What do we need next? And I think that's been a powerful routine for our family, just prayer all throughout the day. Whenever you're kind of transitioning to the next thing, just stop and bow your head. Stop moving, stop being so hurried, and take a breath.
Then, not to be, you know, down again, but how do you make prayers a moment of stopping and worshiping and talking to God? I feel like our prayers are just a joke most of the time. We cannot get kids. They don't want to be kneeling next to the person they're kneeling next to, or, you know, they're hunched over about ready to take a bite out of their food because they're so excited about the food. Or anyway, it's just like, just to get everyone on the same, page when you're praying is such a battle.
Well, my kids are older than yours, Katie, for one thing. And so I'm a little bit past that. And really, it's going to come with time for you. But I think sometimes in routines, you just have to move ahead. And even now with our teenagers, like, it's time to pray. We usually start our evening prayer with a song. We start singing a song, and that means it's time for family prayer. We all kneel down, and we have those kids that are still, like, you know, looking at their phone or finishing their homework, and we just have to move ahead. Okay, we sang the song, now we're going to pray. And most of the time they find out they don't like to miss it. They don't like to feel like we've started without them. So I would say move ahead in faith. They'll catch up. You be as consistent as you can be. You put that smile on your face. This week as a teacher, we watched a little clip in our classroom. I was talking to my students about a growth mindset. And we watched a clip about a little boy that didn't get his way. It was a cartoon. And in the cartoon, it showed that he was upset because the class chose something that he didn't want. And then it shows him throughout the day, and he has this little rain cloud above his head, and it's always constantly raining on him while the students around him are so happy. And I just love that image. And I've seen that so much in my home with my kids. Some of them will suddenly have this little rain cloud over them, and they'll just be in the midst of this little thunderstorm, and all around them, the rest of us can be happy. And I think as a mom, it's kind of our job to be that sunshine and know that that storm's going to pass. It'll blow past them, and it'll especially be gone more quickly when they look around and see their siblings are still happy. We're still doing the routine. We're still doing our dishes. We're still saying our prayers. We're still having our family time. Eventually, that cloud will blow over. I guess that's the only advice I have, Katie, is continue and be consistent, and kids will grow up and it'll get better.
And one thing that I love, Becca, you should go ahead because this is what I was going to share, is that Becca's family does their little cheer or their family cheer after the prayer, which is so cute. Whenever we've been to visit them, they gather with the song, they pray, and then they have a cute little cheer, and it leaves everybody feeling happy. Mame, that's nice of you. Wow. I don't feel like we have a lot of routines, but I can share something about that. I was thinking, Katie, but I also love your, when we're at your house, you do the prayer position, and our kids remember that from being at your house that, you know, yours is a cute little, you know, chant about prayer position, and we fold our arms. And anyway, I think, but I love Nettie's comments. You just be consistent, and they're gonna get it, and they are getting it more than I think we realize sometimes.
Katie, tell us the prayer position chant. Now I'm all curious.
Oh, it's nothing. We actually got it from the school. At the school, they do, you know, a little show what you knows, and they always say assembly position, and the kids get all ready for their little, whatever they're doing, their poem or their, you know, their song or whatever they're doing. So we just say prayer position, and you hit your knees 2 times, and you clap your hands 2 times, and then you fold your arms.
Awesome.
But so then my question is, when everyone's exploding in the circle, or at the table, or whatever it is, you don't address it. You just move on like nothing's happening?
If you can.
Sometimes, Kaden, sometimes we will. If I anticipate a problem, or I can see, oh, yep, I know Joseph has been having a problem, or, you know, not, sorry, Joseph.
He's my child, you know, but yes.
But if I know one of my kids, you know, the last, you know, typically has a problem, sometimes I'll be like, oh, you know, we are ready for prayer. Or I can tell Abby is ready for prayer. She is holding her arms. And I can tell Vieira is ready for prayer. I can tell April wants dinner because she is kneeling down and ready, you know. If I could just take a minute and go around, oh, I can tell, oh, Lucy's ready now. Oh, Abraham's ready. You know, if I can just go around and be like, oh, you know, see who is ready, then it helps my problem child to be like, oh, yeah, I really do want dinner too. Or, you know, then, you know, it helps them. I don't know. It just kind of
gives everybody a minute to settle down and to be recognized and for them to want to be recognized too, I think. Anyway, just a thought that I had. I was just thinking of something that we've done for scripture study sometimes. Actually, not sometimes. We do it every morning. So we'll play the piano. I think several of us begin our morning that way. We play the piano. The kids come out. And Kevin, my husband, will always put on just an inspirational message, it's from the church website, something from the, they used to be called Mormon messages. So I don't even know. I think theirs is called inspirational messages now, but it's just a 2 or 3 minute, sometimes 5 minutes, video. And it teaches wonderful things, but it gives everybody a minute to wake up and to, you know, to just tune in and feel uplifted and given some direction for the day. And then we start in with our scripture study. And I have to say, I've had people ask me, you know, how are ways that you gather your kids for scriptures? And that can be a hard one, I think. But I just think that's just been something that the kids gravitate to and that motivates them and teaches and uplifts all of us at the same time.
And it sounds like a good incentive too, if they know they're going to wake up and start with a video, like that's always kind of fun.
Yeah. It's just a fun thing.
Can we transition into routines that have to do with mealtimes? I'll start. I think one routine we have besides starting with a prayer is end by saying thank you. And our parents taught us that when the meal ends, you say, please excuse me and thank you for a lovely dinner. I think that's a great routine for kids. You know, in Japan, they start the meal by saying itadakimasu. And at the end of the meal, you say gochisousama deshita. But I think kind of having that beginning and end to meals is also healthy routines for kids.
Nan, I like how that, Okay, so now my questions. My question is, when does something become routine that should be routine? I feel like I'm constantly reminding my kids to do the things that we've talked about that we're going to do, and we have consequences if you don't do it. And I feel like it doesn't, a lot of things don't catch on. And I'm wondering, when do people finally figure out what they're supposed to do? I feel like we're always reminding people what they're supposed to be doing and what the, you know, all of the rules of the routine and what we're hoping to accomplish by the routine and what everyone's expect the part they're supposed to play in the routine. And I feel like it's a constant reminding and asking kids to do it. And I'm wondering, when does it actually become routine that people just do it and they know that's what's expected?
That's really all a parent is, Heidi, is someone who constantly reminds people.
I think it's nice to remember why we do routines in the first place. And that is ultimately we're trying to structure our lives in a happy, organized way that will benefit all of us. And I think kids need some buy-in for that too. So a lot of times, the wonderful thing about family councils is that we have a council place where we can talk as a family about a concern. And often the routines come in where there are bumps in the road, mealtimes or responsibilities, cleaning the house or homework. And when we sit down and say, okay, what do we want this to look like? What's our end goal? We ask the kids, how can we do that? And what is every person's part in that? It helps. They get some buy-in to the routine. And then another thing that Mama was fantastic at that I think is huge is to, especially at the beginning of a new routine, to sit down before the routine starts and remind everybody, this is what this is going to look like for us. This is what dishes will look like today. This is who is in charge. Or we're all going to get ready for church, and we are all going to be here at 8:30 for the family prayer, dressed and fed and ready to go. So be prepared for that. She was really good at preparing us ahead of time so that we could be successful in the routine until it got into a habit.
I love that, Larae. Family council is such a tool for starting routines. And I have just two thoughts to jump after that. One is the reminding is constant. Even we have teenagers, and once I went back to work full time, my husband, on his own accord, kind of took over as the designated laundry person. He just puts in the loads every day and keeps it going so that when we all come home, we can fold clothes. And I'd say at least once a month at dinner time, he gives us a big reminder. Empty your pockets. Put your socks inside out. And it's kind of a fun joke now with our kids. Dad's going to remind us to empty our pockets. So I think reminding is a constant throughout our lives. But I also remember once when we were little, during a family council, we talked about saving power and not wasting electricity. And then Mama and Daddy went around to all of the light sockets and taped up a little tiny light bulb sticker or something. And for the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, those were on the light bulbs. And I just remember walking out of the rooms and thinking, I've got to turn off the light. I'm walking out of the room. I'm saving power. So there are also visual reminders we can put up for our kids. And now I'm in the habit, I always turn off lights. And I keep thinking, where can I get those stickers to remind my kids, turn off lights when you walk out of the room? So I think the visual reminders are also key. There's a lot of ways we can remind our kids.
And I like the visual reminders because then you don't have to be saying something. Often as a mom, I think 9 times out of 10, what I'm saying is asking my child to do something, and that's not always fun for them to hear. I also think the way that you say it can play a big role in it. So Lindsay is really good at this. In the morning, she has her kids do a Fabulous Five, and it includes getting dressed, making their bed, putting away their pajamas. I don't know, saying their prayers. I don't remember all the Fabulous Five, but all she has to say is, have you done the Fabulous Five? And instead of saying, have you done your da-da-da-da-da-da. So if you can come up with a catchphrase that's fun and doesn't go into all the details, but they know exactly what it means, then that can make it more pleasant. I also love to have something that they want to do that they're going to come to me for, so I don't always have to be the one to nag. For example, they come and want their breakfast, like with Lindsay's example, you just say, have you done your Fabulous Five? So you don't need to be the one saying it all the time. You just, this takes a lot of discipline, but I have found it very beneficial because I always want, I can see that they're not going to make it on time, or I can see that this isn't going well. But if I can hold off and just go about my merry way and be happy making breakfast, then, and let them fall short once or twice, then it only takes once or twice for them to learn, oh, I really want breakfast. I've got to do my Fabulous Five. Or after school, if they want to play with a friend or do a fun craft, they'll come to me and say, can I do this? Oh, have you done, for us, the five is after school. Have you done your five things that you need to do? Have you done your mama's special? Have you put away your school stuff? They know what the list is because we've gone over it, but I don't nag at them as much as I just wait for when they want to do something that they want to do, then they know that they need to have it done. Does that help?
And I have, one more to add to that, Heidi, and I think Mamie's the one that brought this up earlier, and that's that it's always good to change things up. We said it on a previous podcast, a change is as good as a rest. And every few months, you know, pull out a new sticker chart, make a new phrase, shake it up, give everyone a different assignment on the dishes, and it makes it so much more fun to get those routines done and to reteach what you're doing, even if you're still teaching the same things, just in a different way with a different incentive.
I also have to say, I think you need to be unemotional about it. So if you can pull yourself out of the equation, first of all, it's okay to have consequences. I like, Mame brought this to mind. It's okay to have consequences and let them fall. If you have discussed a routine, for example, you need to finish your piano practice before you get dinner, and somebody hasn't done it, it's okay to have them miss. The consequences need to fall. That will help them see the value of the routine. And I also love the changing up, Katie. I think for family prayer, when our kids were little, we would have like 2 months where we all had to hold hands because that kept our hands occupied. And then they couldn't hold hands anymore because it was not a happy thing. So then we started folding our arms. Or we've had routines where we have to have a seating chart in the church bench because certain people can't sit by other certain people for a while. And we'll change that up too. So every detail that's a bump, see if we can, if you can make it a routine that pulls you out of the equation so that your emotions don't get involved. Kids are so good at pushing buttons, and routines can take us out of that.
And isn't it wonderful that that's what we have the family for? They're learning all these life's lessons in this safe, loving environment. And by the time they leave home, they're going to be a great citizen. They're going to know how to get along. They're going to have already had some failures and natural consequences where they could fall in this place. And maybe they missed dinner or something, but they've got themselves together, and now they're going to go out and benefit the world. I just love that's the power of family.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I can't remember who, I should look it up. One of the sisters at General Conference said something about, maybe it was Sister Jones, and that our children need to learn in the heat of our families before they, something about, before they get into the furnace of real life or something. They need to learn the hard things early, learn wisdom in their youth.
It was Sister Jones. She talked about how you want them to sweat in the battlefields of home before they're in the real battlefields.
Yes. Love that. Love that. And I remind myself that too, when I watch my kids go through hard things, and when I'm even sometimes in their mind, the cause of the hard things, that this is their learning experience. Two things really quick that we've done that have been very successful. When I was first married, I learned really quickly that I really don't like cleaning house. And I tried lots of different routines personally to do it with little kids. And then Jared came home one day and he said, why don't we just do it as a family on Saturday mornings? We have now for 30 years, every Saturday morning, cleaned the house as a family. And it is a routine. And I love it. And my kids don't balk at it. They know it's happening. My husband is a chemist. And I also learned that he uses in a lab what's called a standard operating procedure. And so when we clean the rooms, I have actually a checklist. So whoever's in charge of a room has a checklist, and those are the things that need to be accomplished in that room for them to pass their inspection and to move on with their day, which helps me not to be a nag. I just look at the checklist and I say, and I can run an inspection, and it makes me not the bad guy. I really liked that. We've also used Alexa recently, because when I went back to work full time, I'm now one of the first ones out of the house. This semester, my husband has an early class, so our kids get themselves out of the house about 10 or 15 minutes after we're gone. And I came home a couple of days into school and noticed that the dishes weren't getting done and the lunch wasn't getting cleaned up. And so we had a little family council about it. Said, what can we do? We thought we had had this routine all handled and discussed before we left. But then, of course, everybody had their problems. Well, so-and-so didn't get his lunch pack, so I couldn't clean up. Or so-and-so didn't clean up, so I couldn't do my job. Anyway, it was all dependent on somebody else, of course. And so we have an Alexa, and I put a reminder on Alexa. And every morning at 7:05, she says, time to do the dishes. And whoever hasn't gotten dressed and hasn't packed their lunch and hasn't eaten their breakfast and done their dishes is just out of luck, because then they'll get stuck with everything else if they're not done on time. So Alexa has pulled it out of my court and is the bad guy for me, and I love that.
Sounds like I need an Alexa.
I'll share something else that we do in the summers, because summers, the kids are in a routine during school and they're getting up and going somewhere. And then in the summers, sometimes it's harder for them to want to do their chores. So one thing that my kids love that we got from Mama when we were little was Mama money. And we actually call it Sunny money. I printed off papers that have little dollar bill things on them that just say Sunny money, and they have a little sunshine. The reason we call it Sunny money is because in order to earn one, they have to do their job cheerfully. So they earn a Sunny money for their, whatever they do on their list of chores, they can earn one if they've done it on time, if they've done it without being asked, and if they've done it cheerfully, and if they've done it well. If they've done those four things, they earn a Sunny money, and they have a little pocket they keep it in or an envelope. And then like three times during the summer, we'll have a Mama store, and I've purchased things just at the dollar store, or sometimes I'll even get snacks that we don't usually have, and they can buy things at the Mama store with their Sunny money. So that makes it really fun for them during the summer. And I only do it during the summers because then we have the regular routine. And if I did it all the time, then it wouldn't be fun anymore. But knowing that they have that to look forward to every summer is a really fun thing. The other thing that I would share is just getting them to participate. We just recently sat down in our family council and decided we needed a better routine for after dinner so that we didn't forget who was on what. And Maddie, who's my artist, volunteered to make the little chart. So she put all this cute little artistic effort into making a chart that is seasonal and we can switch it up. And then she had the buy-in for being part of that routine. So anytime you can get your kids to participate in making the Sunny Money, cutting it out, or making the chart, then they feel they own it a little bit more and they're more willing to comply.
Now that our kids are a little bit older, and I love the Sunny Money and Mama Money meme. We do those too, and I love that in the summer. But now that our kids are getting a little bit older and we don't have to be quite so structured in some of our routines because everyone pretty much knows what needs to happen, one phrase that I often use is tickets. So, for example, if everyone comes home from school and we're trying to get ready for dinner and people are kind of in the middle of their practicing and their homework, I'll say something like, everyone needs 3 tickets and dinner starts in 10 minutes. And then they have to come to me and say, what's my first ticket? And I can say, well, your first ticket is make sure all your stuff is cleaned up. And your second ticket is help me serve up the dishes and put them on the table. And your third ticket is run clean up the balls in the yard or something. So that makes it a little more flexible for me, who can see exactly what needs to be done. And it's kind of fun. They can say, oh, I've earned my 3 tickets. I can sit up for dinner. So we use that phrase a lot. You need tickets to sit up for dinner. You need 4 tickets before you climb in the car. Or we're about to have ice cream. Anyone who has 2 tickets can get ice cream. And then they come to me and earn those random tickets. And another phrase that keeps crossing my mind as we're having this discussion is a phrase I got from the scouting leadership training that I went to a few years ago. And it's a 4-word phrase. And it says, form, storm, norm, perform. And I've seen that, what would I call that? That pattern a lot in life. I think anytime you try to have a new routine in your family, first you're going to form around that routine. And it's kind of exciting as you start something new. But after the form comes the storm. So this is when you're kind of working through the details and what's going smoothly and what's not. After you storm, then you'll move to the norm where it becomes a little more normal. And finally, you'll perform. So I've seen my family go through those 4 stages a lot with different things. And I just have to remind myself when we're in the storming stage that the next stage is perform. We're going to get this and just hang on a little bit more. Or I'm sorry, after storm is norm. It's going to become a little more normal and then eventually we'll be performing well. So I like to remember that.
Do we have enough time for another question?
Yes.
I want to know how you inspect everything. Because sometimes I feel like I've inspected enough that like they know what the expectation is. And then the minute I stop inspecting, it stops happening. And they'll say, yeah, oh yeah, I did that. And then I find out, you know, days later, when I feel like it's too late almost to really address it, that it didn't happen. Like even just, you know, make your bed in the morning. I'm busy with breakfast and that, yep, I made my bed. Yep, I picked up my room and then it's not. How do you keep up with everything, especially with, I mean, you all have a lot of children. How do you keep up with all the things that they're all expected to do in these different routines?
Well, you do have mostly boys, Katie. That could be the problem.
Katie, I've run into the same problem, and I'm not saying this is the perfect answer, but sometimes when I don't have time, I'm in the middle of making breakfast, and they're supposed to do the things. I will say, Kate, can you please inspect Brigham's, and Brigham, can you go inspect Kate's? And they're pretty hard with each other, so I expect if they both come down and say that, done, then it really is done.
I like that idea.
I do think it's one of the most important things. Follow through is so important. If we don't, and it is, the mom is the last stop, right? We're the ones that have to make sure that it happens. And about a year ago, I was feeling so overwhelmed with the cleanup. I just feel like as a mom, I'm the only one that's trying. I'm the only one that's trying to make sure that something happens and nobody else even cares about it. So I remember approaching James, my husband, and saying, I don't want to tell people to clean. I don't want to do it because I'm telling him all week long what to do. And because I voiced that, he said, well, I'll be the bad guy. I don't mind doing that. So on our Saturday morning cleanups, now James is the one that reminds everyone, okay, it's time to clean up, and follows through on making sure that it's gotten done. But the inspection is key. And Kate, I've used the same thing where I have the two siblings inspect each other. That really does help.
One phrase we use is mama eyes. So sometimes, like, if I'm gone at night and I call the kids and they're like, oh yeah, we're all cleaned up. And I'll say, has somebody with mama's eyes gone around and made sure it's really cleaned up? And then they think, oh yeah, are the counters really wiped? Is this?
Oh yeah, we haven't cleaned up. I love that, Nan.
And Nan, going back to your ticket idea, I've used that since watching you use it, but I also use Mama's Specials, and that's been a lot more freeing because, like you said, the mom knows exactly what needs to happen. It's not always the same every day. So when my kids come home from school, what they need to do is not assigned anymore, but they do know that they need to do a Mama's Special. And then I can assess what needs to happen that day, and they come to me and say, what's my Mama's Special? And I can tell them right then and there what needs to happen. That's really helpful to be a little more flexible.
And on that same note, ever since I started doing Mama's Specials with the kids a few years ago, which they know are not that special, Mark will always be like, and you need a Papa's Special. So then they have to go get a job from him too.
So, Katie, quickly, we do. I have one child assigned as a mighty tidy person, and I have actually little paper tickets that we printed that say mighty tidy, and that person, their job is every morning before school to go inspect everybody's room, and their after-school snack is attached to getting a mighty tidy, so that means their bed has to be made, their clothes off the floor, things are tidy. But I love the idea of sending kids to do each other's. We've done that, and that's also extremely effective.
That's a really great phrase, Ray. Mighty tidy. One phrase we also use is finishing Fred. Has finishing Fred been there? Like, you know, sometimes we'll do the dishes, but we forget to clean out the sink. So we talk about, did finishing Fred come? Are you a finishing Fred? or the bedtime fairy. Sometimes if someone's down early to breakfast, I'll say, would you be the bed fairy today and go check all the beds, make sure they're really made?
I love that. And it reminds me that several years ago when we had littles, we had really fun names for everything. So the kids would come home from school and they were either the gardener or they were the chef or they were the maid. I think we had one more, I can't remember. But then if you were the gardener, it meant you took out the trash or you brought the cans in or you did some weeding. So I could be flexible within that area. The chef would come in and help me with dinner, set the table. And just having a fun name for something makes it more desirable. But if I have time, I just want to share one other thought that has gone a long way in our family that we learned from Aunt Lindsay, and I've also learned it from my husband, James. And that is that he doesn't wait for kids to do their job. This could go both ways, so you have to be prayerful about this. But my husband will be the first one up from the table and is always starting to clean up from dinner, whether it's his job or not. And it's never his job. We always have it assigned to kids, but he'll jump right in and start washing. And sometimes it's made me a little bit upset in the past, like you've got to wait and let them do their job. But what it has done is that it's made our kids more proactive. They know that if they don't jump up right away and do their job, dad's going to start doing it. And it makes them more willing to comply because they know that they're not the only one in the trenches doing the work. And Lindsay told me once that her dad would do the same thing. He would come in on Saturday morning and say, this is the project I need help with. Today I'm doing an oil change on the car. Please come out and help me. And then he would just leave and go do it. And she said sometimes she didn't go. And then she realized after a few times that she was missing out on time with her dad and that she wasn't being responsible. And so she went of her own free will and choice to go and do that. So it leaves a feeling of a good relationship, and you know that the parent is willing to do it. So Mama taught us that you never ask a child to do something they can't do, and you never ask them to do something you don't see to it that they've done or that you don't follow through. But the third part is that you don't ask a child to do something you're not willing to do yourself. They can feel that. And if you're willing to do it too, then they're more willing to do it themselves.
So really quickly, at our last family council, then Andrew said, I don't like that people are always saying it's his job, it's his job. He said, I want us to have more of a, like, you know, dishes are a family job. Let's just get up and everyone has their assigned work, but let's all help each other, you know, when we're done sweeping, then let's see if there's something else we can do. And so that's what we've tried this week. And I'm pretty sure I've done all the dishes because, you know, the minute it's a general responsibility and no one's held to the fire, then maybe I need to have more faith and feel like, okay, if we'll do this for a few weeks, then other people will see that it's so fun to come help mom. But that's anyway.
Hope you've earned a lot of mama money, Katie.
That's why I say you have to be so prayerful about it, because they're, you know, your child, and sometimes having them watch you do their job is going to be life changing. And sometimes you have to say, I'm sorry, that's your job. You've got to do that before you can do this.
But I think the mama money, that's anyway, I mean, I've always loved that idea, but I love, I guess just my thought with it is, oh my goodness, if nobody else wants to hop up and do it, I'm going to go get mama money. And I say it, and I, you know, or I would, I don't know, make it big. Oh my goodness, I'm going to get my mama money. Oh my goodness, all the great things I'm going to get with my mama money. And da da da. And oh my goodness, I'm going to wash all these dishes and I'm so excited. And oh, da 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 da, you know, or you know, whatever I'm going to get from, I would just play it up. I don't know. That's my personality, but I would just totally, totally take it. Oh my goodness, you know, and then it'll totally, I mean, it might throw them off their rocker. And oh my goodness, mama's doing that. Oh my goodness, you know. Anyway, that's just an idea, but that's how we play it around here sometimes.
You could also just read The Little Red Hen to your family.
And just put me by yourself. I also, just thinking of doing dishes together, I love, well, I don't know, just sometimes when I'm feeling down, and frustrated, you know, about the whole situation, I'll just start singing a hymn, whatever hymn I want to, or whatever song I want to. And I'm amazed at how quick everybody picks it up, you know, and, you know, hops on and we'll sing and, you know, we'll jump in. So anyway, there's a quick thought.
I think the bottom line, at least what I've gathered from this conversation, is something we all know, and that's that motherhood is just really hard, and raising kids is really a difficult job, and it takes so much patience, and it's going to sometimes take years before we see any progress, but we have to keep on keeping on and trust that all things will work together for the good of them who love the Lord, and no good effort is wasted. So hang in there, Katie. You're going to make it.
And hi, Becca. What? Wait, what's that, Abby? And Heidi and Becca. Katie's not the only one struggling here.
I know. And actually, I have to say, this conversation has made me desirous to redouble our efforts. So thank you, everybody.
One final thought I have is that our homes are a temple. And when I think about the temple, there is definitely routine. There's a lot of routine. There's also peace and calm. And the routines in the temple change too sometimes. And I can see even in the temple that they will see a problem or a bump in how things are operating, and they're trying to find a way to make it smoother, more peaceful, more spirit promoting. And I love Mame's comment that we need to be prayerful. We know Heavenly Father knows us. He knows our children. He knows our marriages. He knows our circumstances. And if we see a bump in our road or our life, if we go to him, he will help us find a routine to help smooth that out. If we will listen and then be consistent with following through on those promptings. And our homes can be temples.
And it doesn't mean that we'll always be the good guy, but in the end, it will all work out.
And Ray, I think your home is a temple. When I go there, your kids and I'm tending, your kids do what they're supposed to do. There's so much peace and calm and routine.
That's because you're tending and their routine is not being forced on them, and it's really wonderful for them.
In my scripture study this week, I read 1 Corinthians 14:32, and it says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. I think that goes along with what Leray was saying. Our homes are temples, and routines bring rhythms and peace.
I also feel like Pa always said, we're not trying to raise good kids, and we're not even trying to raise good parents. We're trying to raise gods and goddesses. And we have that discussion often with our kids. It helps them with the buy-in and in the routines and how we run our home. I think that keeping perspective is key. Why are we doing this routine? What will be the benefit to all of us? And what is each part in that routine?
Okay, thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Now that we've solved all the world's problems,
come join us next week for another great discussion with Six Sisters.
Thanks for tuning into Sister Share. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again next week.